Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, June 25th. Tomorrow's primary election will narrow down Colorado's gubernatorial race from 8 to 2 major party candidates who will go on to compete in the general election. Benta Berkland has more.
This is the first primary in which unaffiliated voters can participate. About a third of Colorado's electorate isn't associated with a party. This year, they can vote, but only in the Republican or Democratic race, not both. At this point, ballots must be hand-delivered in order to count. Each party has a full field of candidates trying to replace term-limited Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper. Republicans also have a competitive primary for state treasurer and Democrats for attorney general. Party operatives will be looking to measure enthusiasm from their bases and examining how unaffiliated voters may impact the races. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
When natural food sources fail to feed black bears, they often find new sources of food among humans. In our most recent story from Western Slope Resources Reporting, KDNK's Raleigh Burley reports on how Coloradans are responding to an increase in incidents.
Last year, a late frost knocked out many of the season's chokecherries, service berries, and acorns. Then a dry summer exasperated the flowers, forbs, and grasses. To the average citizen, this may have gone unnoticed, except that bear activity spiked. In 2017, 190 bears were euthanized by CPW, that is, Colorado Parks and Wildlife. A number much higher than average and in direct correlation to the lack of natural foods. In Carbondale, Colorado, an estimated 12 bears roamed the municipality by August, an unprecedented number, according to John Groves, a district wildlife manager for CPW.
In the last 13, 14 years I've been here, this is some of the highest activity we've seen in town. Usually it's one or two bears, you know, per season. This year, I know of probably at least a dozen bears in town.
Groves appealed to the Carbondale Board of Town Trustees, warning that the lack of proper trash containment would result in deaths among the bears.
If we have to trap and handle a bear, it may not be dead today, but probably within a month or 2 months, that bear is going to be back, getting into trouble again, and the bear is going to die.
Commonly referred to as the two-strike policy, if a bear has been captured and handled twice by Colorado Parks and Wildlife, then it, quote, shall be destroyed. In the nearby city of Aspen, bear incidents, including frequent home and vehicle break-ins, have become a regular part of the summer.
And as you can see, they're coming along really well.
These chokecherries?
Yep. So I've been watching these. They're coming good, and then here's your service bear right here. And those are looking pretty good as well.
For Curtis Tesh, a wildlife manager whose district includes Aspen, it is routine to check on natural food sources throughout the spring.
There's some oak brush down there too, which is doing well also. The problem we're going to face this year is if we don't get any rain soon, those berries are going to shrivel up and we're not going to get the production that we need.
Black bears, storing fat for hibernation, can eat up to 30 pounds a day and are highly incentivized by foods found in and around human residences.
They're not dumb animals, they're smart, so they're obviously going to sit down and eat that out of the trash can or whatever and get the calories that way, or they can just sit there and do it rather than picking berries on, you know, dozens of different bushes all around.
Following the dramatic summer of 2017, the town of Carbondale has since replaced all municipal trash receptacles with bear-resistant containers, and the city of Aspen has more than doubled fines for wildlife harassment. Still, I couldn't help but ask, what other approaches are being taken? With bad bear years on the rise and some bears recorded as foregoing hibernation altogether, the occurrence of human-bear interactions are becoming more common. When natural foods are non-existent, is there any alternative to locking out the starving bears?
The city was hesitant about it, but then when I went to the open space department and spoke with the head plant ecologist, she thought it was a fantastic idea.
That's Brenda Lee, founder of the Boulder Bear Coalition. Thanks to the unique characteristic of city-owned open space surrounding Boulder, The nonprofit organization is experimenting with planting a native food buffer for wildlife.
We've planted for 2 years now in the spring over 200 rootstock to provide a natural food source for bears and other wildlife moving through. Choke cherries, wild plums, rose, currants.
A variety of plants were selected to offset the effects of early and late freezes, and they're beginning to show promise.
The plants have taken root, and a lot of them are looking quite good. We don't see a lot of fruit yet. That is something that will take probably another year.
As expanding human development and climate change alter habitat conditions for the estimated 19,000 black bears living in Colorado, creative initiatives like establishing a native food buffer zone could help save the desperate animals from risking conflict with humans.
Bears are hungry. It's really what it comes down to. They just want to eat.
For Western Slope Resources Reporting, I'm Raleigh Burley.
This story is part of Western Slope Resources Reporting, a collaboration between KDNK, KSJD, and three other radio stations in rural Colorado, made possible with support from the Gates Family Foundation.
A new online app ranks cities according to livability, and Colorado has three cities that are among the best. Eric Alatis has this story.
Three Colorado cities made the top 10 in the updated AARP Livability Index, which ranks cities based on seven categories: housing, neighborhood, transportation, environment, health, engagement, and opportunity. Denver, Boulder, and Lafayette each ranked fourth in their respective categories for large, midsize, and small cities. Bob Murphy with AARP Colorado sees the index as a valuable tool to help city leaders and residents improve their communities and better meet the needs of people of all ages.
Scrape off that first layer of the overall score and you'll see the seven categories that go into it. That's where you can really start to mine the data and see what's really strong about a neighborhood or a city, or see what can be helped.
Denver and Lafayette had strong scores for access to quality health care, and Boulder and Denver both ranked high for safe and convenient transportation options. Areas cited for improvement include cleaning up the air and drinking water in Boulder and Lafayette, and reducing income inequality and increasing high school graduation rates in Denver. I'm Eric Galatis.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.